Welcome to episode 141 of the Family Podcast Network. It's time to go back to school.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this awesome episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. With a master's degree in counseling psychology and 6 years of showing parents how to de-stress parenting, I am your host, Trey Gibson. Our date today is August the 20th, 2012. Our topic for today is back to school supplies that your kids won't find while they're in the stores. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about a very neat topic today about what are some of the supplies that your kids need to have before they go back to school that aren't in the shelves of Walmart or any other establishment that sells those kinds of things. We're going to talk a little bit about those things that our kids need before they're going back to school, things we need to be teaching them to help them be more successful. Before we get into that, guys, let's do our housekeeping real quick. Guys, if you want to get free updates on the episodes that I put out through Family Podcast Network, you can go over to www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Upper right-hand sidebar, you can enter your name and your email address to make sure that you never miss an episode on any of the awesome stuff that we go over. You'll be able to get an update on what those things are. Guys, also, I always ask if you will like us on Facebook and Twitter and all that other good stuff. I am going to put out my beg pants. I'm sorry, guys. I try to stay away from this begging crap whenever I can, but I've got to now. If I can get 4 more people to like me on Facebook, then I will be allowed to have what's called Insight Technology on my webpage, which that just means that I'll have insight that I can actually look to see where people are going, what topics are they liking more, and that helps me tailor what I talk about in these podcasts better because it helps me know what people are looking for answers to. So if you guys will, I just need 4 people, I think, to go over there to check that out. That is all I need. I am almost there, and I'm actually going to go check as we speak just to make sure that I'm right on that. But if I get that, I get a sweet deal at being able to see who and what all has been going on and what people are saying. And let's see, the answer is, oh nuts, I was wrong, but still doable. All I need is 6 more people to like me, like my page on the Family Podcast Network, and then I will get my awesomeness. So if anybody is over on Facebook, if y'all are like me, you are, just jump over to the Family Podcast Network, or that's www.facebook.com/Family Podcast Network. And you can jump on there and then like that page. I would appreciate it. Guys, also, if you want to go ahead and show support of the Family Podcast Network at $3 per episode, if you feel like you're getting $3 worth of education, experience, knowledge, wisdom, whatever else it is that you're gaining through this, guys, just consider supporting the show. Again, at 30 cents per episode, you can do that by going to the tab that says PTACers and becoming an official PTAC member. And then last, guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, you know, questions about what to do, something that you'd like to hear put on the podcast and have an answer to. I've had several of you guys, several of the episodes have actually been that. Then if you will, guys, you can either email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can leave an internet voicemail, or you can call me on phone, which is 661-PARENT-0. Again, that's 661-PARENT-0. Or last, if you guys want to hop into the chat box, you can always drop off and leave me a chat message. I love chatting. I've gotten to chat with several of you guys that way, and I love doing it. So with all of the housekeeping out of the way, let's go ahead and jump into our very cool topic for today. Again, this is, you know, I was thinking about just the back-to-school topic, and so I was going to talk a little bit about that. Before we do that, I've got to tell you guys just a really funny story of something that happened today. I say funny. It was actually very neat. It was a very cool experience. You know, we've really been working. I mean, you guys know how siblings are going, you know, in terms of what siblings do and how they'll fight and bicker, etc., and all those good stuff. And my kids are no exception to that. We've noticed it, that there's become kind of a snideness that our oldest daughter has towards the next oldest, which is my son. And my daughter's 6, and then, of course, my son Grant's 4. Anyway, we've noticed just kind of a snideness. So when he says something that's wrong, for a while there, my oldest daughter would just be like, no, Grant, it's not that, it's this. And then he would get real upset, and then it would turn into a little fight. So what we've been doing is we've been working between the two of them. So that way, whenever Anna hears something that he does that's wrong, teaching her instead, you know, we just pulled her to the side one day and said, Anna, instead of telling him, oh, gosh, you know, it's not this. And we asked her, how do you think he feels when you say that? And she was like, well, he feels like he's stupid or something. And I said, right, I think I would feel that way. And I said, instead, why don't you just tell him this? Why don't you just tell him, you know, hey, sweetie, that's really good that you thought about that. But the answer is this. And, you know, we went on through about it. And I mean, there wasn't any direct changes. But today, we heard it today. She got in the car and Grant had put something on his chin. He goes, look, I've got a mustache. And she goes, hey, that's really good, Grant. Good thinking. However, it's not actually a mustache. That would be a beard. And he goes, oh, okay. And then later today, he was coming in and she said something. I can't even remember what it was. And he goes, hey, that was really good. But no, it's not that. It's this. And she just frowned and she looked at him. She goes, thank you. And then she looked at me and she was like, Dad, he was really polite. And I looked at her and I said, Anna, how do you think? Why do you think he did that? Where do you think he learned that from? And she just grinned ear to ear and goes, I think he learned it from me. But, you know, I mean, forgive the goofiness out of all of this. But there was something really neat to that. There was something very cool to that, that instead of breeding and teaching our kids to fight and bicker more, you know, we've gotten the opportunity to teach them to work together, to encourage each other, to look for the good instead of focusing on the bad, even as a brother and sister. So pretty neat story. Just had to share that. You know, that's kind of been one of my field experiments is that, you know, my kids are kind of my guinea pigs. You know, I didn't grow up knowing all this information about parenting. I knew nothing about parenting whenever my wife came in and brought the little pink plus sign or whatever. I started researching from that point on. And so freshly starting to practice with my kids. And, you know, the theory's there, but the practical application had yet to be practiced. And it was just neat to see this practice with kids. It was neat to see it put into you know, practical use and to see it be successful with it. And not only that, that my daughter understood that by being polite and kind to him, he was polite and kind back. And I think that's a neat experience. I was so proud of my kids today. And anyway, I just want to share that little tidbit just because I thought it was neat. But let's get into the topic, guys. Today's topic today is going to be back to school supplies that they won't find while in the stores. I thought this was really, really, really interesting. And whenever I first read this, I was looking at an article over at the Huffington Post. And there was a lady who wrote one named Jennifer Owens. She's always been she's one of the ones I watch more, and I read her stuff. She always comments and writes in the parenting section, but I was particularly interested in this article because, you know, I think the initial article title was something to the effect of 5 lessons our kids don't learn in school for success in life. And I thought that was a really good title. It really caught my attention. It really piqued me because, you know, I think our schools do a pretty good job about teaching the pragmatic, the black and the whites, the math and the sciences and all that other good stuff. But there's so much more that is important to getting a job. Like, let's be honest, if you're going to get a job, you need to be good at job interviews. And yet we really seem to maybe dedicate a few hours in one semester of one particular class teaching these kids. And so they may have all the skills in the world and they're knowledgeable and they're brainy and they've got all this information and they're ready to go, but the fact of the matter is they don't have the ambition or the understanding on how to pass an interview. And if you can't pass the interview, I mean, what good does it do you really? And so this really caught my attention. And so, you know, I mean, since many of us, I mean, I thought this was really practical. I thought this was really good to talk about today, since so many of us are going to be getting ready for back to school. I mean, we're going to be buying our supplies, backpacks, you know, we're going to be getting, you know, tissue. And I've always been fascinated how, like, you know, tissue, like facial tissue, has become like a collective supply type thing. I mean, I always find it interesting. Why is it that students always have to provide tissue? I mean, to me, it's as ridiculous as students having to provide toilet paper for the school. I mean, to me, it just seems like that's something that should be a part of the school's budget. I don't know. Some of you guys out there are administrators at a school, and you might say, oh, well, Trey, it's because of this and that. Maybe there's a really good reason for it. And don't get me wrong. I think classrooms need tissues with as much nose blowing that goes on. But Anyway, I always found that fascinating. That's always a part of the school, is like facial tissue, etc. Anyway. And then maybe you're going out, get your new clothes, new shoes, you know, all that other good jazz that we get right before school. So, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I think we should shoot straight here. We just did an article. If you haven't listened to last Friday's The Real Family Guys podcast, which is the episode just before this, you need to go listen to it, because Paul and I talk about it. The topic of the lies that every parent tells, and that a lot of parents will lie about how their lives are going and how their kids are doing and the issues that are going on there, and how we'll often fib about those. And we talk about does those fibs have a long term effect on us as parents? But you know, I think a lot of us have to also admit that some of us, by the time we get to the end of our school year, we are dag flabbing ready to get our kids back out of the house. And I think we're ready to get them back there where, you know, we understand that we're gearing up for our homework, our progress reports, sports, you know, having to get them to the bus to get them picked up on time, making sure we don't miss it, blah, 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 and all that good stuff. And that's excluding the stuff that we have to do in our own lives as parents. So, you know, as we're getting fired up about that, you know, about those things, I saw this title and I thought, man, what a good title. And so we're going to talk about the five things that your kids needs for school that they're not going to find at any store today. We really think about these things. And I think I'm almost guaranteed that when I read them out to you today, you're going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. But I just don't think we spend enough time going over these. And I'll even go as far to say that I think that these are issues. These are things that are detrimental. Detrimental for kids. And I'm not talking about just in their kindergarten class to keep them out of the principal's office. Yes. But I mean, I think they're actually detrimental for our kids for later in life when they're trying to get a job. Whenever they're trying to do something more than just working the most menial task that they can find. And they're just not taught anymore. So, again, let's get into this article. I do want to make sure that I give all the credit to Jennifer Owens at Huffington Post. I'll include a link to it in the show notes. You guys can go check it out. But I do want to give full credit to her for the titles of these. These were not my creations, but these were just ones that I went, yeah, exactly. And so I want to read those out to you. So what are the five things that kids need to have in their supply list before they go to school that they're not going to buy on the shelves? Number one, kids need to know how to advocate for themselves. I believe that we are seeing a culture of kids that are just waiting for someone else to come solve their problems. I mean, guys, I'm going to tip my hand a little bit on what I believe politically here, and I want you to hear me say, if you disagree with me, it's okay. I want you to know this is a very welcoming place, and I welcome opposing viewpoints, and I will not criticize you or judge you or tell you that I even think that you're wrong. I love to listen to different viewpoints and disagreements, and because for me, to me, that's how you really sharpen yourself as a person, is you listen to somebody who disagrees with you, and you question yourself, why do I believe that, and how do I back that up? And so, but you know, I take a look at a lot of where our nation is trying to go. I think we see, if you take a look at how many people were like on food stamps about 5 to 10 years ago, and you take a look about how many are now, and how we went from several hundred thousand to several million. I think if you take a look at the folks like in the Occupy Wall, you know, Wall Street movement and whatnot, people that are looking at the rich saying, why aren't we getting ours? And I'm thinking to myself, why are you not working a job? Now, I know some of them out there have a hard time, etc. Do I think there's corruption? Do I think there's people that have lots and lots of wealth that are not healthy individuals and have allowed that love of money to root themselves in? Absolutely. I think those are out there. But I think there's also honest, wonderful people that are making awesome profits, and I think they should be. They're fantastic people, and these folks don't owe anybody anything. But I think we have this culture of these kids that are just waiting for someone else to come solve their problems and to give them their food and to solve their issues and give them their medicine and their medical stuff. I think there's people that do that. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is so many people are upset with Obama right now for this Obamacare, but I think there's a lot of people out there that are going, oh, I'm okay with this. I'm not personally. I'm not. Because you create, and there's an old quote, and I can't even remember how it goes, so I'm going to paraphrase this. There's an old quote that says, a government that has the power to give you everything has the power to take everything away. And anyway, I think a lot of the things that we're getting so upset about with what our nation is turning into, I think we have a lot of people who really want that, who think that is the best thing. I honestly believe they're in for a sore disappointment. Because once you give up your ability and the freedom to choose how you want to live... Anyway, okay. I'm getting too deep into the politics here, okay, so this is, we're going back to... sorry, guys. I chased the rabbit so bad. But how do we get our kids to advocate for themselves? So we got these kids that are kind of, they're raising up, not knowing what to do, anything for themselves. And largely, I think that's because parents have been doing just that. I think we've had so many parents that don't want their kids to struggle, and they don't want to see them fight, and they don't want to see them have problems. And I think in a lot of cases, it's because the parents had these problems, and they're trying to alleviate all issues that these kids can have. I also think there's some element of control that's involved with this. We like the feeling that we're in control of these things, and so parents are sweeping in, and they're doing just that. They're solving their kids' problems and not allowing them to fall or to have struggles or difficulties or fall on their butt. When in reality, if you take a look at human nature, and we talked about that last week, I think last Monday, as a matter of fact, we went over the episode where we talk about failures and how if you were completely satisfied where you are as a parent right now, you are failing as one. And I'm not saying that to be mean or hurtful, but if you ever get to a point where you're like, yeah, I've arrived, let me tell you, you're in a sorely, sorely bad place. Always need to be working, getting better at our parenting. But our kids need to fail. Our kids need to experience failure, because the fact of the matter is we can't go the rest of our lives and accomplish anything if we don't experience some failure along the way. And so we've got to allow our kids to fall on their butt. But I think a lot of parents are trying to avoid or keep their kids from doing that. It's often easier for us. When I'm watching my son walk around like a goofball balancing on something, I'm like, he's going to fall off. If I come and take him off of it, one of these days he's going to get up and fall off of something. He's not going to understand what it feels like, and he's going to be blown off his feet. So I want my kids to experience failure. That doesn't mean that I cause them to fail, but I do allow the failure so that we can learn how we can work on it, how we can make it better, how can we make this different. Just tonight, I had everybody in the bath, and I was washing everybody up, and my son Grant wanted a toy that was in, we have kind of like this little hanging frog that sticks to the wall, and it's got a lot of toys in it, and we were just going to do a quick shower, just going to rinse them off, and then my Grant said, he said, Dad, I want a toy. I said, well, son, I don't know about that. We're just going to take a quick shower. And so he kind of sat there, he started whining. Dad, I want a toy. He started doing one of those whine things, which just grates into the amygdala of my brain and causes irrational feelings that involve clonking him over the head to pop into, visions of popping him, rising my head. I mean this metaphorically, guys, but it grates me so bad. And so, what I did is I stopped and I said, son, listen to me. Hey, instead of whining, and I showed him what whining was. This is whining, and I showed him what it was. I said, instead, just ask me, hey, Dad, can I have one of those toys in there? And I just taught him. I just taught him how to advocate for himself. And then I said, son, if I say not right now, I told him, ask again. Say, Dad, it's really important. I would really like a toy, even just for a little bit. And I taught him how to advocate for himself and how to push a little bit and how to do it respectfully and kindly. So we need to be teaching our kids to stand up for themselves. But we need to be teaching them to do that standing up with complete respect for the person that they're standing up to. Number two, if y'all can tell why I like this article written by Jennifer Owens, you'll be able to tell now. Number two, kids need to learn how to fail. I did a whole podcast on that last week that's amazing, guys. You guys need to go check it out. But I love this one. I'm not going to spend too much time on it today. But we need to know how to screw up. We need to know how to screw up and get up. Because the reality is, anything that is worth anything comes with risk. This podcast comes at a risk. I've been putting money and pouring money into this domain and keeping that and buying software, etc., in the hopes that one of these days it's eventually going to get better. Even the very start of this podcast, you want to just blow your socks off. Go back to episode one. Go back to episode one of the Family Podcast Network and listen to the quality of the recording, which was just much more poor than it is now. Take a listen to the way it is. You'll hear in a lot of cases I was recording in my vehicle, and so you'll hear turn signals and horns and all sorts of other very unprofessional stuff. I mean, it was what I had at the time, is what I could do. But, it came with failures, and I messed up, and several of the episodes I lost, and then I lost a plug-in, crashed my website, and just, there's just been things that have happened over the years that have failed. But it is those things whenever I fell and then I got back up that helped, I mean, really, in most ways, train and hone me into where I am today. So our kids need to understand that messing up and screwing up and dropping the ball, literally or metaphorically, is not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. Because now we know. Now we know. We have a phrase in our household, and I could, if my kids were awake, I wish they were, I'd call them in here. And I would have them say it. And if I asked them, I say, guys, what do we do if we mess up? And my kids, from my 6-year-old to my 2-year-old, know that the answer is we try again. We try again. If we don't get first place on Mario Kart, wee-hee! If we don't get first place on Mario Kart Wii, what do? We try again. What do? If we don't beat brother to the swing set, well, we try again. I teach my kids to be very competitive with respect. But I also teach them to accept and admit to their failures and then figure out how to learn from them. Our kids need to know how to fail. Number 3, personal favorite of mine, empathy. Empathy. Some of you guys out there who haven't listened to my episode where we've talked about empathy. Empathy is simply this. You know what it is already. Some of you guys are saying, well, it's when you feel sorry for somebody. No, that's sympathy. Sympathy is feeling sorry or feeling bad for someone in their circumstances. What we're talking about is empathy. Empathy is this old adage right here. The ability to put yourself in somebody else's, you got it, shoes. That is empathy at its finest right there. That ability to stop and imagine what it would be like to be in that person's experiences, thoughts, feelings, emotions, situations, etc. That is what empathy is. And let me tell you, it is a beautiful thing, especially for kids. I'll tell you guys this. As a guy who used to sit down with people in his office who would just unload on the things that were going on in their lives, the ability to be an understanding person is powerful. That ability to listen to somebody and imagine what they feel like and really try to be there with them is powerful. We had a little girl a few years ago, several years ago, when I was doing in office stuff, and she would come in, and I mean, she would just cuss me up one side of the wall and down the other, and she'd be fucking snuggling, you're just a son of a, you're just a fat, but you know, I mean, she was just mean-hearted stuff. But I had read her file, and I saw what she had gone through, things that I won't even utter over this mic. Atrocious, atrocious things. And when I was able to imagine what it would feel like to grow up like that, I could certainly understand why she might be calling me all these names. It had nothing to do with me. The ability to put ourselves in somebody else's shoe and gather why that lady at work gossips so much, or why that one particular guy who we work with is just angry and upset, if you just put yourself in people's shoes, which involves relationship and community, which is a whole other podcast right there. But when we do that, that is a powerful, powerful skill set for our kids to have. Being able to look beyond what a person does and look into how they might feel is something that if we can teach our kids to do, you have almost, I would say, given them the world. That ability to look beyond the behavior and understand the reason is so important. Here at the Casa, Casa de Gibson, we ask our kids all the time, as often as we can, well, you know, what do you think that person might be feeling? You know, we ask them, like, if one sibling kind of blows up at the other one, you know, we'll ask them, you know, why might that person be acting that way? Why do you think your brother might be doing that? What do you think might have your sister doing that to you? We get them thinking about how that other person feels. It's teaching them to be empathic. It's a very, very important skill. It's very, very good. And let me tell you, some of the best leaders that I've ever seen were incredibly empathic. They were able to put themselves in your shoes. They knew what it was like to be a man on the ground. And they reacted accordingly. And that is so excellent. Number 4, how to teach our kids how to keep them focused. Our kids, man, let me tell you, this is a major thing. A lot of our kids are growing up with no idea how to stay focused on one task. Let me play you guys a real quick clip. Hang on just a second.
We have dog!
Whoa.
Whatever he belongs to.
Sit, boy. Hey, look, he's trained. Sheik. Uh-huh. Speak.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes. My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel! My master is good and smart.
It's not possible.
Oh, it is, because my master is smart.
Cool. What do these do, boy?
Hey, would you cut that grab up a thing? I use that collar. What Hashiwa Hanashima to talk with? I would be happy if you stop.
Oh, here it is. I picked up the bird's nest.
Wait a minute. What is this? Chocolate. I smell chocolate.
I'm getting prunes and denture cream. Who are they?
Oh, man, master will not be pleased. We better tell him someone took the bird, right, Alpha?
No. Soon enough, the bird will be ours yet again. Find the scent, my compadres, and you too shall have much rewarding from master for the toil factor you wage.
Hey, Alpha, I think there's something wrong with your collar. You must have sculpted.
Yeah, your voice sounds funny.
Beta, Gamma. Perhaps you desired. Squirrel!
That whole movie, that cracks me up. That's my favorite part. My wife and I still crack up about that because I have a very difficult time. And like, either I have a really poor short-term memory bank, or I have a really hard time committing short-term to long-term memory, because I'll often get started on stuff and then I brain fart, and then I totally forget my next task. You know, it used to drive my wife nuts, but luckily she's a good wife, and so she's come to be more understanding of it. But now she just makes a joke out of it. And so today she came and was like, Trey, can you do the blah, blah, blah on this and that? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. And I started to work on it, and then I forgot the second task, and I come back, and she goes, oh, look, squirrel! So that's kind of become our running joke. But we often have kids that struggle on how to be focused. They struggle on how to stay focused on one task. And so it's very important that we teach our kids this. This is not something that somebody comes ingrained in knowing how to do. Kids have to be taught not only why that they should be doing it. And I think every parent should talk to their kids about why we need to finish one task up. Now, I'm not saying that you can't multitask, but in most cases, we need to teach our kids to stay focused on a task until they wrap it up to completion. You know, a lot of kids we have are the type that are just, they're buzzing and they're jumping from one thing to the next that they're doing. My son is one of those kids, and he really struggles with this. He just has a lot of energy. He's my more energetic kiddo. And so he's the one just being, he's just going, so going from one thing to the next. So we found that we have to spend more time teaching him to focus. We have to slow him down. We have to get him thinking. We have to get him focusing on what he's doing. And we've had great success in teaching him that. He's taken it very, very well. But it's a reminder that kids don't just come out knowing how to do this. We have to be the one that teaches them. The author there, Ms. Owens here, she actually recommends having a turn off the power night. And I'll be honest, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad deal. We here in our house, in the Casa de Gibson again, we kind of adopt the when you have their eyes, you have their heart mentality. And we believe that whenever you can get them looking you in the eyes and staying focused on you, that you've got their attention. And so that's one of the ways that we do it. We also do a repeating thing too, is that we'll tell them we've got their focus and we tell them what we want them to do, and then we have them repeat it. And then we go over it as many times as we have to until they repeat it back to us correct. And so the other day we were setting like a discipline for our kids, and I don't mean like a butt-busting type thing, but I just mean like a, what do you think the consequence should be? And we were asking our son, and of course he's our kind of our buzzing and going one. But so what I had to do was say, son, Angel, look at me in the eyes, okay, buddy? And he looked me in the eyes, and I said, what do you think we should do when we have this? And then he picked something like he has to lose his leap pad, I think. And I said, oh, okay, so you're going to lose your leap pad. And I said, okay, so what did we just talk about? You want me to put my clothes on? I was like, no, that had absolutely nothing to do with it. So you didn't hear me. Okay, so what I said, son, was is that whenever you do this, then you're going to lose your leap pad for the day. Okay? And then, so what did I say? He goes, leap pad, lose it. Okay. Said it again. So what did I say? And then he finally got it on that third one. And so getting our kids to focus and really draw that attention and hold it tight is a very, very, very good thing. I think the author's recommendation of having like a turn off the power night, no TV, you know, no devices, no text messages and those kinds of things, I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. I mean, I'm a product of the techno world. I love my iPhone. I love my iPad. My wife loves her Kindle. I mean, we love our tech, man. But you know, I don't necessarily see that as being a bad deal. We've adopted a rule, even with me being just a tech nerd, we don't keep electronics at the table with us anymore. And funny enough, I'm not the one who has a hard time with it. My wife actually is. But anyway, we've adopted that a while back, and we really like that. And then last, number five, our final one before we're going to wrap it up today, talking, what are the, again, this is the top five skill sets that our kids need they're not going to find in the grocery store before school, talking to grown-ups. Talking to grown-ups. When I read that one, I thought, holy crap, that's really good. You know, I mean, I think we have kind of, in the totalitarianness of Family Podcast Network, we've gone over this, but I've never actually specifically put words to that. We have to teach our kids how to effectively communicate with adults. Because again, they don't come out with that. And then you take a look at this generation of kids that are just adopting kind of the LOLs and ROTFLOL, you know, through their devices. There's a basic lack of education on how to talk to people face to face that are adults. Now, I want you guys to hear me say, I'm not dogging on LOLs and ROTFLOL. I use that in my vernacular on Facebook and et cetera, and you know, I don't have any problems with things like that. But you know, I think kids aren't understanding that's fine to talk to people that way. I always encourage parents to learn how to talk that language. Don't embarrass or be silly with your kids, you know, if you can't do it, you know, quote unquote right. But understanding that, I think, is very important. But it's also important to teach kids on how to talk to adults that don't find humor in that. Because the fact of the matter is, they're going to run into bosses and employers and people they work with that aren't going to have a sense of humor about these kinds of things. And so learning how to do that, not saying that they are required to go get a job in a business suit. They might work at a computer place where everybody talks this way. That's fine. But giving them that skill set on how to talk to people that aren't in that level of culture is very, very, very important. One of the things that the author said that she recommends to do first, and I thought this was a great suggestion, is teach kids how to respond politely to questions. You know, hey, what do you think about this? Whatever. Nothing. You know, those kinds of things. Teach your kids, what do you believe about what is the appropriate polite response to give somebody who is an adult? Teach them to do that. Don't expect them to know before they go to school this year. Teach them and let them know what they need to know. If you're like my family, and I'm not advocating this for all families, because I know not everybody out there really values this, but I come from the South. I come from Texas. And, I mean, we're big on yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And I had somebody ask me, why do you make them say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir? And I let them know it is solely a respect thing. It is about acknowledging them as a title. Back whenever titles used to actually be more specific, ma'am and sir were actually a very big deal. And so, you know, we teach them to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, as a polite factor. We teach our kids to look people in the eyes, even though it's sometimes very hard. We teach them to look them in the eyes. Now, I understand some cultures, especially maybe some of our international listeners out there, this may not be one for you. Because I know a lot of cultures, it's actually considered disrespectful for a kid to look in a parent's eyes or an adult's eyes, and I respect that. But teach them whatever it is that's common into your culture and your belief systems, and teach those things to them. And then also, I mean, one of the things I recommend is teach them the authentic pleases and thank yous. Get your kids saying please and thank you and make that a regular part of their diet. One of the best ways that I can recommend to get your kids talking to grown-ups appropriately is to do it yourself. It's one of the hardest things in all reality, but do it yourself. Talk to other adults that way. Talk to your parents that way. And sure as heck, talk to your kids that way too. You want to get your kids doing something? You got to do it first. My daughter Anne, I was telling the story at the start today about how she's gotten to where she corrects herself and says, oh, Grant, that's a very good job for trying. But where do you guess she learned that from? That's because her mama and I practice that regularly. If Anna would say something that was not right. Hey, Anna, first off, good job taking the time to think. I'm very impressed that you're trying to figure that out. However, here's the actual answer, you know, and then ending back on, but hey, good job on thinking. I'm very proud of you. That's what I want to see out of you. Our kids learned it because we did it first. Well, all right, guys. That is all that we've got for this episode of the Family Podcast Network. Guys, I'll have in the show notes a copy to the link of this article that was written by Miss Owens. Go check it out. It's very good. You guys have a great day. Have a great evening. And you guys enjoy yourselves. We will see you guys on Wednesday.